I don't think it's a big jump at all. I love words. I don't try to restrict myself by genre. I just went from rapping into slam poetry into novel writing. Now I'm going to playwriting, might return to hip-hop. Who knows? It's all different branches of the same tree, as far as I'm concerned. I think there's a few of us that are jumping from slam poetry or performance poetry into writing prose. Maxine Beneba Clark is an amazing writer, and she's just come out with a book of short stories called Foreign Soil. It's getting great acclaim. And I don't want to prophesize too much, but I reckon in the next 10 years, a lot of different people of various different backgrounds are going to start coming out and writing prose, but coming from the hip-hop and slam poetry world. I've gone into a literary area. You know, I want my work to stand up on the page. I don't want people to sort of give me a little pat on the back and say, oh, you did well, but consider me to be all style and no substance. I can't stand that idea. But at the same time, one of my early mentors, Sophie Cunningham, told me that the best way to edit is to read your work out loud. And I think people have been doing that for hundreds of years, you know, novelists. So I do that. And yeah, if it starts to sound nice and flow nicely as well, then I'll do that. But I'm sort of combining a whole lot of different genres, really. This is from the bushfire section of the novel, but it's more about an existential fire in Australia, I would say. A monstrous, deranged chaos prevails. A cardiogram of the nation is written into the rumbling flames. From the Eyre Peninsula to Gippsland to the Blue Mountains, horizons shimmer and bend. The needle on the fire danger sign points to catastrophic and code red. Life and death are both staunch in their will to survive. The large and small clash against one another. Wind, land, water, fire and man embroiled in a tussle with no resolution except that it must happen again. Sobbing and screaming. Sirens, black clouds, cauliflower. Rubber is scribbled on asphalt as trucks swerve through the firewall. Animals seek refuge on highways, mammals and reptiles next to each other, stunned by fear, arranged as if by design on tar so hot a man's foot can sink in it. Power generators break down and dams are filled with a turbid mixture of ash and silt. In 2 days, a fire truck is burned to its spine. 10 people lose their lives and hundreds of houses are destroyed. Rumours of looting, abandoned cars show their ribs to the sky. After the fire has moved on, people pick through the carnage of their houses like rag and bone men, with tears streaking clear lines down their masks of soot. A woman clutches a photo album to her chest while her husband sifts through bricks and broken pottery and misshapen blobs that were once glass bottles. He stoops, picks up a diamond ring and holds it to the red sun. Sympathy and charity flow, and a school hall is turned into a makeshift camp for the displaced. People who have never met sleep side by side on donated mattresses, and many ask why it took a catastrophe of this magnitude to finally bring forth compassion in Australians.